Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. The word of God says, "And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will all these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come." This article appeared in the Arizona Republic back in January of 2007, and it reads this way. "Since its birth in 1947, the eyes of the world have been on the famous doomsday clock. This symbolic timepiece measures how close the world is to midnight. That is, a nuclear or environmental apocalypse. It is officially set by the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists magazine, a resource dedicated to educating the world about global security. The magazine made news in 2007 when physicists collectively decided to set the clock ahead 2 minutes to 11:55 p.m. The jump forward was in response to the continued dangers of ongoing wars, the worldwide increase in nuclear weapons, and the ever-growing threat of climate change. The closest the doomsday clock has ever been to midnight has been 2 minutes, when the U.S. successfully tested a hydrogen bomb in 1953. The furthest it has been from midnight was 17 minutes after the 1991 fall of the Soviet Union. Well, an article like this seems to indicate that man is interested in the future, but is only grasping at straws as he tries to nail down the end of the world, as many will call it. Whenever there is a major upset in world affairs, those in charge of the famous doomsday clock set the perceived time for a major apocalypse accordingly. This timepiece either heightens or it relieves the fear that people have for world doom. I will agree, and I'm sure many of you will agree today, that there is a day coming, call it doomsday if you want, when there is going to be a major time of trouble, such as this world has never imagined possible. And I am also confident that I will not be here when it happens, because I will have been snatched away by the Lord before the impending tribulation begins. And if I am dead when the Lord comes, he's going to raise me up before those who are alive, who are on this earth. And we are going to be snatched away, and we will be forever with the Lord. There is a specific order to these events. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. And there is great hope in those verses if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today. Who is going to be rescued from this coming doomsday? Well, we know that the Bible is clear about this, that it is those who are followers of Jesus Christ, those who have made it a decision to willingly repent of their sin and turn their lives over to Jesus and be saved from what is coming. For a brief review, I want you to look, if you can see this chart, you'll notice that we began back in chapter 1. And the Apostle John in chapter 1 was talking about three things that were going to happen. He was going to talk about things present, things that are now. He was going to talk about things that have taken place already. And then he was going to talk about things that were going to happen in the future. Now, right at this moment, on this chart, we have already gone through the seven churches of chapter 2 and 3. We studied chapters 4 and 5. And today, you'll see where chapter 6 is there on the chart. That is where we are going to be beginning today. And we're going to be looking at chapter 6 in detail. But in chapter 5, you'll remember, the Lord had a sealed book in his hand. And there were seven seals that were binding this book. And a strong angel asks, who is worthy, as Jeff was reading, to break these seals? And no one was found worthy to open the book and to break its seals. And John was so upset that he began to weep. And then an elder intervened and said, stop weeping, because there is one who is worthy. The lion from the tribe of Judah, the one who appears as a lamb standing as if slain, he is the one who is worthy. And this lion lamb walked over and took the book from him who sat on the throne. And it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who purchased for God, the scripture says, with his blood, people from every tribe and nation and tongue. And he made them to be priests in his kingdom and rulers over the earth. And that is those who have given their lives to Christ. This is the position of people today who are followers of Jesus Christ. And that is why we have no fear of a doomsday clock or anything like it. Our time is in the hands of the one who is enthroned on high, the one that we've been singing about today, the only one who knows the times and the seasons, or when time as we know it today is going to end. And so today in chapter 6, we are going to move from that glorious scene in heaven where the Lord God was seated on the throne. And we are going to be coming back to earth, and we're going to start looking into the scroll that Jesus took from the hand of him who sat on the throne. It is the opening of the sealed scroll and what scholars call the beginning of the tribulation that we're going to be looking at. And yes, it will be doomsday, and the clock has struck midnight. And we can listen now as the word of God is read to us and pictorially try to envision the scene.
I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come, 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 come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. heard the second living creature say, "Come, come, 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 come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come, come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil or the wine." Of the fourth living creature say, "Come, come, come, come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. Black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as though twigs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind.
And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This is a very sobering passage of Scripture, isn't it? Nonetheless, it is something that is true and something that is going to come to pass in a coming day. And in order to understand chapters 4 to 22 of Revelation, we must first of all know that God's dealings with the church on earth are over. God's dealings with the church on earth are over. And Christians have been snatched away from the earth. We are gone from this scene, and we are forever with the Lord. And we will not see earth again until the time of the millennium, that time when Christ will return in power and great glory with his bride, the church, and will set up his earthly kingdom in which sin will not be tolerated at all anymore. The other important fact to us, for us to understand, is that the events in chapters 6 to 22 primarily deal with Israel and its restoration as a nation. And it is designed, first of all, to prepare the nation for their Messiah. And the second purpose of this is to judge unbelieving men and nations. And we must distinguish, we really have to distinguish between Israel and the church, or we are going to have a difficult time understanding the book of Revelation. The other important fact that we should be aware of is that there are accompanying passages of Scripture that should be read in conjunction with the book of Revelation, which impact our understanding of this challenging book. They are Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And in our study, for instance, Jesus spoke prophetically about the events in chapter 6 in Matthew chapter 24. Verses 4 to 13. A lot of people want to fit the church into Matthew chapters 24 and 25. But these chapters are referring to Israel through and through. It is Jesus talking to his Jewish disciples here prophetically about the impending judgment that is going to come upon this earth. And the church is not going to be a part of that. It is a time when God is going to ultimately restore a remnant of people to Israel and worship the Messiah along with many of the Gentile nations. The other passage of Scripture that we should also reference when we're reading Revelation is Daniel chapter 9, this part of Revelation. In this passage, the 70th week of Daniel, or as Jeremiah calls it, the time of Jacob's trouble, is referenced. And you will have noticed as we read Revelation 6 that there are four riders, as we see here, and four horses who respond to the command of one of the four living creatures mentioned in chapter 5. The first seal is broken, revealing a white horse. And a rider who has a bow, and you'll notice the bow in the hand of the white rider. But doesn't it seem strange to you that this rider has no arrows? And so how is he going to go out and conquer? Well, he's going to go out and conquer with deception and with lies. This man on the white horse is trying to pass himself off as the Christ. Because in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, you will notice that Jesus is coming from the heavens, riding on a white horse, and he is coming to judge and to wage war. However, at this point in chapter 6, Jesus is nowhere near the earth. It is probable that this rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 is the Antichrist, the counterfeit. This fits perfectly in with Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, when Jesus said to his Jewish disciples, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name and will mislead many. Now, the Antichrist, with the bow, is going to pass himself off as the Prince of Peace. But it is only the real Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, who will be able to bring about lasting peace on the earth. Jesus does the same today, and he will continue to do the same in the future. But in the meantime, we need to keep our heads about ourselves and not be fooled into following some sort of a counterfeit. People have done it in the past. And incidences such as the Jim Jones incident in Uganda, and there were others such as the Waco massacre. All people who were following a false sort of Messiah. But the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that we need to look out for. Because in him only is there real peace to be found. Warren Wiersbe offers some great advice to help us identify religious counterfeits and to avoid being hoodwinked by one of them. First of all, he says, stop. Refuse to blindly accept someone else's teaching just because others have been blessed by it. Stop long enough to make a serious study comparing what is being taught with what the scriptures teach. Good advice. Secondly, he says, look. Take a careful look at the life of the main spokesperson. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident? Don't be wowed because someone sounds intelligent or be wooed because of someone's charisma. And finally, listen. Pay attention to the terms a person uses and how they're defined. Also, listen to what is being said. Don't judge truth just by how you feel. Think. And make your judgments according to what the scriptures teach. What sound advice for these days in which we live, when so many are coming forth with new ideas, new theology, and new interpretations of the scriptures, and yes, even with a new gospel. The second seal is about to be broken. And again, at the command of one of the four living creatures, a rider appears on a red horse, and he is going to take all semblance of peace from the earth. He is going to be a warmonger. And the wars that we have seen to this date in our lives are really going to appear as little skirmishes when it comes to this sort of thing. Again, all of this lines up with Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 to 7. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And we often hear people quoting these verses in reference to the present day situation in Iraq and Iran and other places, but it is not in reference to that. As we said before, it is in reference to the chapter that we're dealing with right now in Revelation chapter 6. Let's break the third seal. And it is the same format, only with a different rider on a black horse who has a set of scales in his hand. And the message conveyed is a little bit unusual. A quart of wheat for a denarius. Now, you should know that a denarius was a full day's wages that time. A full day's wages was a denarius. And three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. During this time, a day's wages will buy little food. There is going to be famine. But the rich will probably have their fill. Because you'll notice in this particular passage that the oil and the wine are not to be harmed. They are to be protected. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, in various places there will be famines and there will be earthquakes. And he added that this is only the tip of the iceberg. We are talking about something here this morning in Revelation 6 that is nothing to what we have experienced before. The breaking of the seals leads into greater trying judgments, as will be evident as we move on through the book of Revelation. Imagine it like a telescope with three parts. And right now we're rolling out the first part, which is the seals. And then we're going to be moving on to the trumpets, and then we're going to be moving on to the bowls. Everything unfolds after the seals. The fourth seal shows a rider on a sickly colored ashen horse who is called Death and Hades. And death here refers to the body, and Hades is referring to the spirit and the soul. The result of counterfeit spiritual leaders and war and famine and pestilence is that many will die, both physically and spiritually. A quarter of the earth's population is going to be wiped out at this time. Although as believers in Jesus Christ, we will not be here during this time, we have an awesome responsibility while we're here. We have a responsibility, brothers and sisters, to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to those who don't yet know him as Savior. And we can do that in various ways. I don't think that there's any particular methodology that should be used, but we need to be thinking about it, putting it into our hearts and minds, and thinking about the millions of people that are going to perish without Jesus Christ, and talk to them about the gospel and their need to be saved. It's never too late. And we were reminded of this when Mona's sister came to Christ. The last time that she saw her, she talked to her about the Lord, and her sister came to Jesus Christ and accepted Christ as her Savior. And so it is never too late. And we may look at situations and say it's impossible. It's not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. And so we break the fifth seal. Many Jewish believers will have given up their lives for Christ during the tribulation. And they want the Lord to kind of hurry things along and put an end to what's happening. However, the Lord has a greater plan in mind, because more need to be saved. And again, this falls in line with Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9. They will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by nations on account of my name. Taking a stand for Jesus Christ is never easy at any time, and it will be very costly, especially during this time when the Antichrist is the ruler and hate Christians vehemently. Jesus indicated in Matthew chapter 24 again that some will abandon the faith at this time, but those who endure to the end will be saved. The sixth seal that is broken covers verses 12 to 17 of the chapter at hand, and is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. There will be untold natural upheavals at this time. The sun is going to be turned black. Imagine what that would be like today if the sun was black. We'd be in total darkness. And the moon is going to be like blood. The stars are going to fall from the sky to the earth, and the earth will be split like a scroll, and the mountains and the islands will be moved from their place. Men and women are going to ask for death, so that they do not have to face the wrath of Almighty God. The question is, who is able to stand? And the answer is going to be found in chapter 7. It's an interlude, but it also is an interlude about the amazing grace and work of God. And Andrew's going to be dealing with that next week. The doomsday clock is set, but it isn't man-made. It's the hand of the Father in heaven, who will one day give the order, and Jesus Christ is going to explode through the clouds, and he's going to gather us up to take us with him to meet him in the air. But for those that remain, there is going to be tribulation, tribulation like we've been talking about this morning. So may I ask you today, what will you face if Jesus were to return today? What would you face? Is it going to be rapture that you're going to enjoy? Or is it something that is as terrible as the wrath of God? Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ this morning means that you will not have to face judgment tomorrow. And so may God grant us insight. May he grant us wisdom and strength and fortitude to understand and accept the truth of the gospel message. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. He is coming again. So how will you meet him? Will you meet him as Savior? Or will you meet him as your judge? It's a question that's worth pondering in our hearts. I want to thank you today for your attention. I want to thank you for being here. I know that this has been a sobering portion of God's word that we've been considering together this morning, but I would like to encourage you to come to Christ today and not walk out through those double doors at the back without knowing before you pass your head under that header that you know Christ as your Savior. Because we don't know when he's coming and we don't know when we're going to go to the grave. We never know that. And so accept Christ today is my great encouragement to you this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, as we consider your word, the heart is sober, and it's hard to even consider what's ahead for those who don't know Christ. We rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior this morning and we can put our trust in him. While we are still living on this earth in this day of grace, we thank you for that, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your wonderful grace. And Father, today, as we have pondered your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts and help us to further understand what the Spirit is saying to us today. Oh, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fact that he is the one who draws us to you. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would draw hearts to you this morning. We ask this for your glory, Lord Jesus, in your own precious name. Amen.